About the election, depending on the lag, the 24-hour lag between when we record and when the show will air, going to be kind of difficult to, let's put it this way. Well, how accurate will we be? Pretty damn accurate, but we're going to get into things that went wrong and things that need to be corrected. And I don't know if we're going to get another chance, because I do think the Democrats are going to try to solidify power. And we've got really bad news with the House of Representatives, and it's not catastrophic news yet. It could become that way. We have really bad news with the Senate, and we're going to get into all that too. And Charlie Kirk, Brandon Tatum, all these people who I really respect are doing a really good job telling us what we got to do, and we're going to echo some of what they say, and we've got some new ideas. This is the Dave and Doug Intel Report on the Common Sense Show. Doug Thornton, former Marine, military contractor, and DHS officer who served both in the riots against Antifa and also had extensive stenches on the border. And we are brought to you by Noble Gold, the very best in asset diversification. I have been with them as an investor for 4 years, an advertiser for five. You can take your 401k and you can convert it, because I'll tell you, they're going to take it from you. And when the banks falter, they have the legal right to take it. So you better convert it now while you still can. And also, too, you should know that silver will be the darling mineral of the globalist, shall we say, New Green Deal. May as well make money on it. Silver's underproduced, undervalued, and it's going to explode, and Noble Gold can help you get into that too. I have to make a disclaimer here, courtesy of the FTC. The disclaimer is this, that past performance is not indicative of future performance, and all investments carry an inherent risk. Okay, so I think we all know that. We've got our big boy pants on. Noble Gold can be reached at 877-646-5347. That's 877-646-5347. We also have food available, folks. And I'm telling you, the strike could come this week on the railroads. Could. I say could. And even the railroad workers are saying, Dave, we're being told the 16th, because the mechanics are walking out, we won't cross the line. That's what I'm hearing. But they said that is not an etched-in-stone deal. Okay, so that's how I'm reporting it. But ladies and gentlemen, regardless, the diesel is going to explode, and on and on and on it goes. We had, another oil refinery burned down. Surprise, surprise, 110 food processing plants have burned down since Biden's become president. That's just a coincidence, of course. I'm the biggest coincidence theorist on the face of the earth. So get your storable food, please, please, right now. They have a 12-week, 3-month emergency kit special for $250 off, 25-year shelf life, 2,000 calories per day, and lots of diversity in the food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Don't leave your family's preparation to Biden, because you could be leaving it forever. foodwithdave.com. That's foodwithdave.com. We'll come back with a couple of more ads, because we are sponsoring companies for our show that we feel you're going to need in the near term. So we'll be back with more, but we want to get right down to the election. The Senate has officially, although Blake Masters not conceded, nor do I think he should, the Senate has officially gone to Mark Kelly, and the Republicans have lost that battle. And you can thank Chi-Com, traitor, I'm loyal to China, Mitch McConnell, with my Chinese wife, whose parents own the largest six ports, or control the largest six ports in China, and he makes about $25 million a year from it, are the reports. And he withdrew funding from 8 senatorial races. He is the single most important reason why. Blake Masters called him out on Tucker Carlson last night. I was so glad to see that. Blake, my friend, you should have done this 3 months ago. Doug, grim news, and on the House side, right now, the future of the nation is also in jeopardy. The Democrats could very easily control both houses once again.
Yeah, they can. And I think what we should be looking for tonight, as we were speaking about pre-show briefing, is that, you know, it's not so much the lack of Republican voters, but it's the verifying or what you call the curing of Republican votes. So even if they outvoted the Democrats, they can still take away a significant amount by saying, you know, there's minor problems, discrepancies here and there. And I think that's a tactic. Obviously, we've been seeing the other tactics by not allowing people to vote or by screwing with them, saying, hey, here's a magic Sharpie, you know, go and vote with this.
Yeah. You know, that happened with one of the guys that I interviewed on my radio show this week, who was exposing Maricopa County voter fraud from his perspective. He was just a John Q. Public guy, and they tried to get him to vote with a Sharpie.
Yeah. You know what I see, though? What I really see with this is that the Rhino Republicans are more than willing to screw up the rest of the nation if they cannot let in anyone who is a MAGA representative. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
How about this?
Yeah.
Mitt Romney. The DNC, and I'm sure you're going to love that I'm going to bring this one up, but the DNC sent over 1,000 attorneys to Arizona to stop the forensic audit. I want to be clear when I say this. Stop the Steal raised $220 million. But the RNC sent zero lawyers to investigate the states. And who is the head of the RNC at that point in time? Mitt Romney's niece. So the apple does not fall very far from the tree. Here's our problem. We can come out and vote as much as we want, but it's the guys and gals at the top who really hold the keys to the operations. You know, the Democratic Senate candidate has 28,000 more votes. Who is that? Mark Kelly?
Yeah.
He has 28,000 more votes than Blake Masters, which means we are to believe that 28,000 people voted for a Trump-endorsed Carrie Lake, but then voted for the Democrat Senate candidate over Trump, who endorsed Blake Masters. You know, the math isn't adding up. The math's not adding up at all. There's no way you're going to tell me that 28% more of a population in a state voted for a Republican for a gubernatorial seat, and then 28% of that population, more than that population, voted for the senator. Why? Because here's the thing. Which one hurts MAGA more, Dave? To control the Senate or to control the governors?
At this point in time, it's the Senate. But the governors control the elections if they have the legislature and the same party. So that's a difficult question to answer, Doug, because it could go either way.
Yeah, I personally say it's the Senate. I think the Senate is what can hold more weight than our governors, because half the governors are already on the friendly list for China.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is the thing. If they own the Senate, they own the House, they own the presidency, over half of the Republican governors are China friendly. What have we won? MAGA is not represented at all. Make America Great Again. American patriotism is not represented at all within this Republican Party. And anyone that is trying to represent the actual people, Mitch McConnell has completely stabbed in the back. Well, let's just go ahead and say stabbed in the face. That's what he did, because he spit in Blake Masters' face. He has not been a friend to Carrie Lake, all right? He's not been a friend of Ron DeSantis. He's not a friend to Donald Trump. Neither is Minority Leader McCarthy. So what do we really gain with any of these people? You know, we need such a landslide going in the other direction of this Republican Party. And you said a long time ago, you know, toss them all. You know, that is literally what we need. If we didn't get it in 2020, they won't give it to us in 2022. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to understand that in 2024, unless the lights go out in America, it is your duty to go out and vote. That's the only way we do it legally.
I have a little stronger reaction to that. And I'm agreeing with you. But I agree also with what Brandon Tatum said, retired Phoenix police officer, and what Charlie Kirk has said, and some of his staff, that we need to do what the Republicans are, or the Democrats are doing, and both the legal and not so legal. It's time to take off the gloves. I can't find myself believing I'm even saying this, but the reality is the good guys, the populace, can't win a fair election. Now, your point, I want to make this point too. You said that Mitt Romney's niece never dispensed the money for investigating the fraud of the 2020 election. I've been doing some research on who controls the Republican Party. And it is, you had these populists, J.D. Vance populist, Adam Laxalt populist, Blake Masters populist, General Bolduc populist, Oz, I don't know, maybe we can call him that, Herschel Walker populist. So out of the 8 contested senatorial seats that Mitch McConnell sabotaged, 7 of them were clearly populist. He's not. He's a Chinaman. He's a Ukrainian. He is part of the establishment banking system. Not the Federal Reserve, the Bank of International Settlements. I started doing some tracking and tracing over the last few days about who controls what. And this is why the Republicans talk a good game. I'm outraged! But they also know how far they can go. Rand Paul may not be part of this group, but he also knows he can't go against him, and they'll turn on him, and he'll get his campaign funding pulled. And this is what I've discovered. Now, the Democrats are clearly under the control of the Bank of International Settlements, the International Monetary Fund, the classic globalist organizations, but most of all right now, the political leadership is being led in both climate change and in woke agenda by the World Economic Forum. And the richest people in the world are pulling out all the stops. This is why the Democrats always spend more money in elections than the Republicans, particularly the populist candidates. Mitch McConnell is playing for the globalists. That's why he sabotaged senatorial populist candidates that were GOP. The old guard, that's why you're seeing no resistance to the Democratic shenanigans.
Well, and, you know, I want to throw this in there as well. The age group that the Democrats look on for the most impressionable is from 18 to 29 years old.
Yeah, Gen Z.
So, Pennsylvania, 70% of 18 to 29-year-olds voted for John Fetterman. Oh, man. So, you know, they 70% of 18 to 29-year-olds decided to vote for Frankenstein. Then we have New Hampshire. 74% of 18 to 29-year-olds voted for Maggie Hassan. Wisconsin, 70% of 18 to 29-year-olds voted for Governor Tony Evers. Michigan, 62% of 18 to 29-year-olds voted for Governor Gretchen Whitmer. The Democratic base is young party and voters.
Yeah, well, they've won the education battle. That's why this is happening.
Yep. This is why we stress so much that the real fight is in the school system, because they can swing a vote by trying to offer free education and whatever other minute offer that they can give you, and it wins. The tactic is there. The Republican Party needs to think of a new way of getting out and talking to people. But as long as you have, you know, the box turtle in a suit, Mitch McConnell, you're not going to get it. We're not doing it right. And as many young party leaders as we have in the MAGA group in the Republicans – It's not making the dent. You know, I want to put out a clarion call to this, and let's see what you say, Dave. Do you think if the Democrats, or excuse me, if the Republicans who are being pressured by the RINOs to not say anything about the stealing of this election just to keep Trump out, but if they go along with it, they get to keep, you know, their sponsorships, they get to keep their money and stay in power. Do you think if we said, hey, here's the amnesty hour, come out and tell us it's happening, America will rally around you, what do you think they would do?
Nothing. The bird in the hand is worth two in the bush to these people.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to be so negative, but that's how I see it.
Well, I mean, it's not negative, because we all need to reconsider the fact that these people are deciding to choose, you know, their million-dollar mansions, their connections to these multi-million, multi-billion-dollar franchises and industries, or patriotism, and lose it all.
Okay.
I think Marjorie Taylor Greene, Boebert, maybe a couple others are willing to go to the lose it all side, but very few, from what I've seen, to include Rand Paul. I'm going to throw Rand Paul in there.
Yeah, especially, let me tell you what happened with Rand Paul, though. Okay, this is disturbing. I was on one of my Mitch McConnell tirades. Oh gosh. 4 or 5 weeks ago, and I'm on my show, and I said to my audience, you need to call Rand Paul's office and ask why he's not working to remove Mitch McConnell as the Senate Minority Leader so we can free up funds for these 8 senatorial races. And folks, I'm going to say this to you too. This is where Hodges breaks his arm patting himself on the back, because for 6 months, I warned about the incumbents. For 3 months, I warned about Mitch McConnell. And was I ever correct about McConnell? McConnell cost us the Senate. So anyway, my audience calls Rand Paul's office. They get his manager. And this is a repeated story. And he said, there's no problem with Mitch McConnell. I know a couple of people are unhappy among some issues, but oh no, he's taking care of the candidates. Total flippin' denial from Rand Paul's staff. And multiple people talked to this guy. Multiple. Hear no evil, see no evil. I need to get reelected, says Rand Paul. I can't have division with my fellow senator in Kentucky. To hell with the country. To hell if we get the Senate back. To hell with all of that. As long as I don't make waves and I can get reelected. That's how I take Rand Paul. Is that a pregnant pause there, Doug?
I'm baffled, right? I'm baffled why anyone would want the country to go the route that it's going to go. Because I believe we're going to lose the House. We've lost the Senate. We don't have the presidency. And I believe personally this is God's judgment. But why would you want to choose that route? Why would you want to choose tyranny? Now, once again, we know people have been given over to a strong delusion. But I think, honestly, and I've said this before, I'll say it again, people are choosing their own little miniature fiefdoms in order to stay in power, instead of going with we the people. You know, and one day that's going to bite them in the ass for it. It's biting us all.
It already is. So disturbing. It really is. I got to tell you, I don't see a turnaround coming. The Democrats know how to cheat. They also know how to organize. They have it down to an art. And I don't see the Republicans willing to pay that price, and nor do I think a lot of them want to. You know, here's what I found in the audit in Arizona, Maricopa County, in 2020. And it was the fraudit, believe me. But what I concluded was this. Why would Democrats go along with the why would Republicans go along with the steal? And it dawned on me. If the machines or the process or whatever you're saying isn't working the way it's supposed to, if it can work against some candidates, it can also work for some candidates in either party. So if you're getting elected, why would you tempt fate? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that's what I saw happen in Arizona. I saw it repeatedly. You had Karen Fann, state Senate president, who she did not pursue evidence as she should have, like the machine codes that were court-ordered by two different judges. She didn't hold the Maricopa County supervisors to the letter of the law. She didn't investigate. Liz Harris and I both said that Karen Fann purposely ignored several key issues. And, gee, why is that, Karen Fann? Is something out there called Fann construction from your relatives that gets, what, $360 million a contract for the state each year to do highways? Well, did you get that, Karen, when you announced you weren't going to rerun for your state Senate position? Yeah, you did. It was public knowledge. The system worked for her just fine. And that's why I'm just so disgusted. We have so much corruption here, it's unbelievable. Also, I'm getting reports. I've had two reports. And I wanted to get your reaction to this, Doug, because this does come into play with the election and immigration and those issues. The reports are various sheriffs in Arizona are compromised by the cartels to differing degrees. What do you think?
Well, I wouldn't be shocked. As you and I have discussed before, and I've worked at plenty of times along the border. I've been in plenty of different border stations where you can actually see what we call the I can't call that list the name of that list on here, but you can see where people who worked for Customs and Border Patrol got caught up by trafficking with the cartel of some various fashion, and are now doing a federal penitentiary time because of it. And one of the stations, I think it was San Ysidro in California, had at least 30 or 40, you know, former Border Patrol, Customs and Border Patrol officers. So if it's that prevalent within the federal side, it can easily be that prevalent within the sheriff's side. You know, I wouldn't be shocked at all, but it's so dangerous, man. That's so scary to think that the cartel has a foothold in law enforcement. It's bad enough that the Democrats have a foothold in law enforcement, you know, and now the cartels can come in as the enforcer. Cartels can come in, you know, and we know for a fact that cartels will most likely be used for assassination purposes. And I think that's one of the things we should be looking for, not expecting it to happen, but don't be surprised when it does. But it's just one of the many scandals that's out there. You know, why else is it that the Democrats never want to shut down the border? They're going to lose money. Their drug money, and a lot of other things, to include human sex trafficking, that they're all about, and it comes in through law enforcement, man. I'm gonna come right out and tell you, it comes in through law enforcement. We have seen it time and time again, and it's very sad when it happens, because it's only for a little bit of money here and there, but the Border Patrol will get tipped off by the cartel. They'll allow the cartel to come in, and they'll pay them like $5,000 here or there, or $8,000, or, you know, maybe $3,000 to $4,000 for a few months. Let this car go by. let this truck go by, let this 18-wheeler go by, don't say anything. And then somewhere in the interior of the United States, they meet up with law enforcement, and then they move bodies, they move or product, and that product could be anything. That does happen.
Yeah. You know, I think it's time. I don't think I've ever told you the John Cruise story, have I?
No, well, let's hear it.
Well, my audience may remember, those who have been with me for a while, it was probably 2010 when I first covered this, maybe 2012. But John Cruise was a military veteran, a great guy, and he went to work for HSBC Bank, and it fits right into what you're talking about. He was a man with incredible integrity and bravery, and he rose quickly to a senior VP position with an HSBC Bank in New York. So now he's able to see the inner workings of accounts, and he finds accounts that are suspicious. Well, that can't happen on my watch. So he goes out to these boiler rooms and starts looking at what's going on. And they're money laundering operations using HSBC Bank, and they're laundering money that's from the cartels, from the Clinton Foundation, I kid you not, and from other illegal activities. And he is taking notes. No one really knows what he's up to in the business. He goes to a senior supervisor, and he just said, I think we need to involve law enforcement here. Here's what I found, and I think we need to be careful because our lives could be in danger. And he was told immediately, this is not your job. You do your job and stop doing the FBI's job. And he was told to shut up and back off. Well, John's a sucker for the truth, kind of like you and I are. And he kept going. And then finally, he went to the FBI. They wanted nothing to do with this. He went to DHS. This is during the Obama years. They wanted nothing to do with this. He now gets fired. So he goes to the senior federal attorney in the Eastern Division of Manhattan. And he says, okay, this is your law enforcement's last chance. He said, I've got the dead man switches. They're in play around the country. We're going to release everything we have. There's prominent politicians involved and so forth and so on. And he had found that James Comey, who was working out of the UK at the time, was assisting in this. Hillary Clinton was benefiting tremendously from this. Interesting, she was the Secretary of State. James Comey will become the FBI director. And the person he sat down with was none other than who I call Loretta Lynch Mobb, who will become the Attorney General after Holder's forced to resign in disgrace over Fast and Furious. Now, Loretta Lynch said, okay, John, we'll look into it, and if we find what you find, we'll prosecute. And she did. But she prosecuted on all the potential lesser of all charges. HSBC paid a $4 million fine, took a slap on the wrist, and no one went to jail. And that was John's fate. Now, this is what you're talking about here, isn't it? Isn't this the complicity? Because what happens, Loretta Lynch goes to the Attorney General's position, James Comey's the head of the FBI, Hillary Clinton is the Secretary of State, soon to be a presidential candidate, and the criminal activity continued unabated. And the $4 million fine was the cost of doing business. Yep. Isn't that kind of representative of what you just said, Doug?
Well, these people are all fixers at that level.
Yep.
You have smugglers, you have enforcers, you have fixers, financiers. If you're an investigator, you know what I'm talking about. But, and once again, this is the problem, You get into this realm of, we're trying to openly talk about this type of stuff, and bad things happen to people who go into these investigations. And then the rumor mill starts, and then people start getting afraid. They start getting, You know, like whenever I used to work in corrections and I worked at the penitentiary, if you're good at your job, like what I was, because I was doing kind of some anti-gang stuff, you get a note dropped. Don't show up for work tomorrow. Now, I never listened to it. I showed up for work anyways. But there are a lot of people who don't. And there are a lot of people who will get an inkling of shaking that their life is at risk, their job's at risk, the retirement's at risk. You know, that take-home car, you know, that full paid-for family insurance. Everything that is so hard to work for in this country is at risk. Go investigate something else. And, man, I'm going to tell you, a lot of people, they listen to that. They drop certain things. Or they're told by their higher-ups, we're not getting involved with this. We're not messing with this.
Well, I think what we're saying here is you and I, because of our past experiences, mine from the journalistic side of things, yours from the law enforcement side of things, we both know there's no honor among thieves. And we have total criminal elements running our country.
Yeah.
And there's nowhere to turn. There's nowhere to turn. Where do you go when the watchers are the ones who are the most corrupt?
Well, and that's why I say at this point, the best thing Americans can do, and I'll let you chime in on this. The best thing that Americans can do is take care of yourself, prepare yourself and your family for the finances to fail, the system to collapse, and for the politicians who have needed and wanted your vote to not be there when you need them.
Yeah, I have some thoughts along that line, but let's take a real quick break. Ladies and gentlemen, Doug just mentioned when the system collapses. Well, if the grid goes down for very long and we're seeing forced grid shortages beginning in Europe, they're coming here, no question about it. If it's down long enough, you'll have to forage for water. You'll have to scavenge. Are you ready for that? Do you have a water filter you can depend on? Well, we do for you. The Alexa Pure Pro Water Filter. It's the best in the business. The research is at waterwithdave.com. You can read about it. They, too, have not raised their prices, just like My Patriot Supply and the food. And they still have a special that's on waterwithdave.com. And let me just say this. On the fifth day of a crisis, what's been determined by FEMA is that waterborne illness has become the number one cause of death. And we really need to make sure we're prepared. And I recommend getting a filter for each member of your family, because let's say you've got to go half mile to scavenge. Volume is going to be your problem in transporting back to your home or your home base. So you really do need to look at having more than one of these. You can get the Alexa Pure Pro Water Filter, again, by going to waterwithdave.com. Doug, you're right on what you're saying. I think what you're saying is America should stay and quit, withdraw from the system.
Well, you know, that's not what anybody wants, right? We all want the stake in the game because we all have stake in the game. We want our voices heard. We want our vote to count, but it's not counting. You're not being listened to. So stop feeding this party. They're going to continue to vote whoever the hell they want. They're not going to put Trump back in. It'll probably be DeSantis. It'll probably be someone else besides the majority of Americans want.
I'm chomping at the bit here. The old guard Republican controlled by international banking, you're correct. They don't want a nationalist. They don't want America first guy. They want a globalist, go along to get along, destroy America so we can take over the world.
And I'm not saying that's who DeSantis is.
No. I'm talking about Trump being blocked. But the thing is they'll turn their vengeance on DeSantis.
They will. They'll see how far they can push DeSantis. And if he succumbs to anything, If he capitulates to anything, then they'll continue to motivate him and stand behind him, because they'll know, you know, we'll go along with you for these amount of years. And then as long as we keep getting paid, we'll go along with you. And in 4 years, we'll go with the other side. I firmly believe there is a inner core working of individuals who need to stay rich and stay in power, and they will fund whatever Republican or Democratic candidate that they can go with at the time that they can get away with.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I totally agree with what you're saying. I don't have an answer to overcome this. I have said this is what I think is going to happen. I've said this on a couple of shows I've been on. The immigration issue in Europe has really given me some insight as to what's probably going to happen here. Americans are now saying they're never going to vote again. I'm hearing that in big numbers. I'm getting emails to that effect. Someone, a guest on Charlie Kirk, talked about that tonight. And I think it's a natural outgrowth. Americans are going to withdraw from the system because they hate the system. They're not going to do boycotts for the purpose of social change, but they're not going to participate in government systems. They're not going to support the major corporations. They're going to basically create no-go zones. And when they brought the immigrants into France and Germany and Sweden, for example, they just brought them in because that's what the international and the globalists wanted. But they didn't make provisions for them. And these people were pissed. And so what'd they do? They created no-go zones. Areas that were just only locals welcome. And police, don't you dare come in here. We'll take you out. We'll take out people that don't belong. I see America de-evolving into this over time.
Yeah, I think we're already devolving. We're devolving into various sub-factions of political alignments. You know, the main party Republicans don't like MAGA. They're too extreme. They're too outspoken. They make fun of them too much on Twitter and all the other social media websites. You know, the old party establishment suit and tie type of guys, they don't want to lose that power to a new generation of people who have rediscovered freedom, who are tired of the woke BS. They don't want to have trannies in their schools. They don't want to have their kids turned into Antifa extremists. They don't want to pay reparations like everybody else says that we need to. You know, they believe in honest, fair, hard work is what should be rewarded. They want a tightened up border. They want better laws enforced. They want a better economy, cheaper gas, better made vehicles for Lord's sake. You know what's funny, Dave, is especially in my generation, you know, I'm 35. I've been around the block a few times in my lifetime. We want more from America than what we're being given, and we're willing to work for it. We're willing to sacrifice for it. But if we go that route, then this main party establishment, Democrat and Republican, they lose that stranglehold of our vote, because that means we're going to think more outside the box and not need them, and we're going to also start to investigate them more, calling them out. Mainstream media has been one of the greatest things that has ever happened, alternative media has been one of the greatest things that have ever happened. Mainstream media has completely taken over since the 60s in Operation Mockingbird from the CIA, and now that we have social media and Twitter and all this other crap, we can actually throw out all of our ideas of what we think about these damn people. And, oh, hey, by the way, look what I found in the dark spaces of the internet about this guy or this lady. And they're linked to this, you know, horrible event or this horrible person. Like Epstein. Look how many people got caught up in the Epstein debacle, right? We all know this now. However, in the 90s, no one knew. So very few people were even informed by what your Republicans and Democrats were doing. And now you can't hide. And I think it's another reason why they can't hide the skeletons in the closets anymore. That's why they're willing to go nuclear on this event now. Cheat openly. All right, let's talk about that, Dave. Have you ever seen an election so brazenly, openly fraudulent at this point?
Yeah, you mean when 33% of the voting machines don't work in only Republican areas at the beginning of the election? No, I've never seen that. Here's what we're up against in the mainstream media. Here's a headline from the AP. Election denier lose Secretary of State race in Nevada. Election denier. I mean, it's just amazing, isn't it? The name calling, the lying that they do. The other thing they did to Blake Masters in the... They did this in Arizona a lot with ads. Blake Masters wants to take away Social Security. The Republicans all want to take away Social Security and Medicare. There's not one Republican that had that on their platform. Not one. Nope. See, this is what I've also said. Doug, this is something the Republicans should have done. But again, they're the party of doing nothing because they're rubber stamping what the Democrats are doing by omission. They should be suing every time someone tells a lie. If you tell an overt lie big enough in a campaign, you should be sued immediately. Don't you agree?
Yeah. That'll stop that.
I know. But and the Republicans have the money to do it. Well, you're not going to like this when I tell you this, and neither is my audience. Donald Trump raised over $100 million. He gave almost nothing to these eight senatorial races.
Yeah. I know.
Some people think that he was getting bad advice. I hope that's what it is. What do you know about this?
I don't know, man. There's an internal war within the Republican Party right now.
Yeah, it's being expressed by Josh Hawley right now. Listen to this. The old Republican Party is dead. It's time to purge the leadership and move on with the new. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's the type of stuff I'm talking about. Regardless of right and wrong or what the people want, party politics is what matters to the rhinos, to MAGA. And you know how for the longest time you couldn't sit on the fence if you wanted to be, right wing or left wing. Now within the right wing, let me tell you what we're seeing right now. Do you remember the divide in the Democrats when AOC and the Four Horsemen idiots came on board? And then you saw the left-wing extremists really shine in the Democratic Party?
Yeah, exactly.
And they told Nancy Pelosi, you will be on our side or we will be against you. That's now what we're seeing here in the Republican Party. You have the old establishment who is being forced to the open of the conflict. The new establishment, MAGA, is telling the old guard, you will get out on the front lines and get your ass out there and work, or we will expose you and dethrone you.
That's true. Well, you know where this came from. The story behind Ocasio-Cortez, she was doing wet t-shirt contests, I kid you not, in a bar. Yep. Where she was waitressing, and Bernie Sanders' ex-staffers found her, and they were looking for people that they had pre-written scripts for, and they held auditions to run for Congress. Auditions, seriously. The New Green Deal was never created, not one word by her. The New Green Deal, and Patrick Wood gave me this on my show, the New Green Deal was originally developed in the Franklin Roosevelt Brain Trust, and he rejected it as being too extreme. But it was still around. So the Bernie Sanders people picked it up, and it became the New Green Deal that's being enforced today. With some modifications to upgrade for modernism. But I thought you'd find that interesting. And this is the Bernie Sanders influence on the Democratic Party. He's really running the show behind the scenes, at least in terms of policy. Money, again, it's foreign-based. And they don't care how you get the objective done. The objective is to destroy the American economy, lessen the effectiveness of the military, and eventually depopulate the United States.
Well, there's almost no difference now between the old guard Democrats and the old guard Republicans.
None.
From the extreme left and the extreme right, which is you and I now, right? We're declared the extreme right. You have one group on the extreme left who says, I'm willing to surrender everything as long as the state will tell me what to do with my life every day. And then on our side, we are willing to sacrifice everything to tell the state to go kiss our ass. You're not going to tell us what to do anymore. Because the guys in the middle, the establishment party left and right, will not do anything. The fight will be on the Outer Banks between the two extremes. The polar opposites will meet. And we've been meeting politically since 2016. We're going to meet physically by 2024 if we don't figure out how to get this nation back on track. And that is the internal party politic war that we have will manifest into an external conflict. This is where the revolution, the bourgeoisie revolution, all that other crap, this is what we're seeing. We're seeing it, the prelude to the actual conflict. And I guarantee you, man, I guarantee you, if 2024 turns out the way 2020 and the 2022 midterm elections ended up, people will come out of their homes armed. They won't put up with it anymore because they know if these people get elected again, we are going to have a bankrupt society, and nobody wants to live in a gulag.
Yeah.
You know, let's look at everything that this government is promising you right now. If you speak against us, you're a terrorist. If you're a terrorist, as we say you are because you spoke against us, then we're going to monitor everything in your life and we're going to harass you. Oh, yeah, and we're going to deny your votes. Who wants to live in that America?
Voting will no longer matter. Voting will just be a loyalty oath.
When they start to come after guns, which is what this always comes down to, when they start to come after guns, it's game over. America won't put up with it. But once again, that's what they want. I firmly believe everything they can do to cause a conflict, they are trying. There are so many executive orders that can be used for the moment we decide to go into complete dissent and turn into a civil war that they can use to take over this nation, declare martial law or a national emergency from East Coast to West Coast and bring in UN forces. They're pushing us to that point. You know, and I want to say this because it makes sense. It takes quite a while for you to build up a mindset in a person. I know you could speak about this psychologically. And to develop those behaviors and to develop those expectations. And right now, what you see is, you know, if you take somebody and you poke them enough, eventually they're going to hit you in the face. That's what they're doing to the everyday American. They're poking us right in the eyes with everything from high gas prices to the horrible school systems and everything that's going on in there to all this other blatant stuff that's just thrown in your face in mainstream media every day. They're poking us in the eyes saying eventually – I'm either going to be able to stick my finger in your brain or you're going to fight me back, and I'm ready for both of them. That's what I personally think. I think they're ready for either outcome, or at least they think they are.
So what's next? What do we do?
I'm not going to tell you sit and wait. What I'm going to tell you is what I've been telling you. People need to get prepared for a conflict to come. That conflict will mean everything in this country going wrong. Count on the infrastructure to be down. Count on many revolutions throughout the country. Count on the riots and the protests. Count on the burning streets. Take a look at South Africa if you want to see America's future.
I'll give it to you this way. Food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, tools, and a whole lot more. But, I mean, that's what you're saying. Get your butt in shape. Pray. Because you're going to have to defend yourself with the social chaos that's coming. Is that about right?
Train, prep, pray. Make a network of people that you can rely upon. This is, you need to be working on community defense, community offense. You need to be working on community preparedness. But I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how many times I say this. It doesn't matter how many times I say this. You could go, if you're like, you know, out there, let's say Prescott, Arizona, or any other big city that's out there in Arizona, right? You could go out and say, and to your city council, and say, ladies and gentlemen, we need to prepare for X, Y, and Z because there's going to be an internal conflict in this country. Even if it's hypothetical, we need to be ready for it. What do you got? How much food do you have? How much medicine do you have? How much water do we have on hand? How many engineers do we have on hand in case the power goes down? Can we support ourselves if all-out war happens? I dare you, ask your city council. 9 times out of 10, they're not going to have a good answer for you, if they have one. So, individual preparedness, then it goes to your buddy preparedness, you and your bug-out partners or bug-in partners.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and from there, it's building up a community of like-minded people. That's how the 13 colonies survived. The 13 colonies survived because people knew how to survive. They could farm. They could build houses on their own. They all pitched in. You know what probably some of the best communities to live in by this point in time is?
The rural.
Like the Amish.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, totally. Totally. Rural. Rural. I agree. Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more.
Hey, say what you want about those people. They continue to progress forward when the rest of us are going to be, you know, looking in handbooks going, how do I use a saw again? Which side of the hammer is the side I use to, you know, banging a nail?
Well, I agree. I have a digression question for you. If and when, and it'll be if, but probably someday, when I leave this microphone, who should take my place?
I don't know, man.
You could say A, B, C, or D. None of the above. Just throwing that out there. Ladies and gentlemen, drop me an email. Tell me what you think. Dave Hodges says, okay, I've had enough. I've done my part for the country. I need to go live the rest of my life and not have so much stress. Who should take my place? Damn good question, isn't it?
You know, sometimes being the store manager of the local Tractor Supply looks really positive to me.
I hear you.
But, Dave, until God calls us home, buddy, we're here to fight. And God's on our side. No matter what is happening with all this political madness, no matter how crazy this world gets, God is on our side. This is in God's hands. We're along for the ride. Do not be fretful. Do not have fear in your heart. Rejoice. The Lord is going to come back. And this is my personal belief, because if not, I would go crazy to not think God is in control. I don't like what I'm seeing, but if God is in control, then everything that's being done right now is to magnify the prophecies of the Bible, to magnify the Word of God, just like they said in Revelation, I believe it's 17. You know, what's happening right now is for prophecy to be fulfilled. So, be insulated in the Lord, train, prep, and pray.
Yes.
And, you know, subscribe to thecommonsenseshow.com. Make sure you have that TV session in there as well. A lot of great interviews in there. Help support me and Dave and what we do. Spread this and share and like it. You know, I mean, that's this is the only way that we fight back, that we win, is that we educate enough people that maybe we can drag them out of the darkness and show them the light.
I know. I hear you. But whoever would take my place, they'd have to learn to end the show on time. So on that note, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to bid adieu. I agree with Doug. Pray and prep. Prepare for what's coming, because it ain't going to be pretty, because we're being ruled by the godless one-party system. Doug, thanks so much. Talk to you later.